¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgi Martin. The band's back together. Ricky, coming our way from donde?
I am currently in Cleveland, home of Cleveland, Cavaliers. Ohio.
Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks.
Very basic. All the breweries close at 10. I'm like, why?
I know. Yeah. LA, only LA is like LA. Well, there's Vegas too. But I remember being in Seattle years ago. Like, you know, I was hanging out. I'm like, oh, this is great. There's like breweries here. And yeah, same thing. You know, a bunch of friends got together. We were hanging out at a hotel and we're like, okay, let's go, you know, bar hopping. And everyone's like, yeah, the bar is closed at 10. I'm just like, what? So, yeah, it's very strange outside of L.A.
Yeah, I got to go to Nueva York to stay.
Yeah, yeah. The metropolis is where everything's kind of normal late, you know, closed late. But outside of that, man, yeah, it's very common that, you know, bars and such close at like 10. It's weird. Oh.
Well, and of course, Hector Reyes is also here. What the
I'm
heck?
I'm in the house. I'm in the house. What the heck?
Gracias, everybody, for joining us. Como siempre, es un placer. Make sure to check out our website at familiaffb.com, as well as our social media channels at familiaffb on Twitter and Instagram, and the Familia FFB Facebook page. So, guys, you know, we're back together and... Well, you know, I thought it was kind of cool. I thought it'd be good to get everybody's thoughts on the Ned Colletti interview. It was a lot of fun. For me, it was a lot of fun. It was kind of getting back together with an old friend. Just would love to hear your observations on it, guys.
No, for me, I mean, I it's still kind of interesting or kind of crazy to me to know that Ned Colletti was, you know, former general manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, I grew up as a, you know, diehard, lifelong Dodger fan. You know, I'm a product of the 70s. So, you know, I was born in 73. So I grew up watching Say and Lopes and Russell and Garvey in the infield. I mean, that's what I grew up with. You know, in 1982, I used to go to, you know, the 76 stations to get those Dodger portraits that Vin Scully would talk about during Dodger games. You know, I couldn't wait to go get the latest one, you know. So, yeah, it always, like, for me, the Dodgers were always larger than life, you know, as a kid growing up. So I never considered the idea that, you know, we're doing this podcast and, you know, you got Ned Colletti there. And it's just like, wow, like, this is actually like a guy that was part of the Dodger organization. He's like part of our, you know, podcast family now. So after doing the interview with you, so I think that's pretty super cool. Some of the things that he talked about, I thought were pretty awesome, like work ethic, just, what he learned from his dad, you know, humble beginnings, you know, that his dad used to, you know, be that guy that would, you know, fix everything and be so available for the neighborhood. And, you know, that's, you know, my dad was a gardener. I used to go with him and mow lawns as like a 9, 10, 11-year-old kid. So that's how I learned the value of hard work. You know, my dad, you know, that put us through, you know, private school. My dad worked at General Motors. And then after work, he'd come scoop me up and we'd go mow lawns at different houses. And, you know, he'd be their gardener and get paid just so that we could have extra things, you know. And so I don't take that for granted. And just like Ned Colletti, you know, he hit it on the head. You know, same ideas. Like, you know, you'll learn that if you're lucky enough to learn something like that from your pops. Super cool. I thought that was really awesome.
Came from humble beginnings and he just loved community and family. About how, you know, what he considers a good day, and he just talks about all the things that have to happen, and he's like, all right, but it always included family, included good work ethic and all that, and dang, you really got into the brain of the guy, man, about how he scouts and everything. Now he's doing hockey. I'm like, who is this guy? I don't even recognize him anymore. But it was a good interview. I would love to know his fantasy information, because I'm sure that guy's got a crazy mind about that stuff, especially because the way he thinks.
Data-driven.
But it was a good interview. It was nice to see or hear about his family side.
Yeah, just a really good guy. And I, you know, there were several times I, you know, his family were there when his daughter worked for the organization for a little period of time. It was just, just a great dude. I mean, I bonded with him early on. I still remember, you know, I went in to do an interview with him, in spring training, Vero Beach, back in 2006, I'd been working for the Dodgers for about 6 weeks and, you know, and I was very trying hard not to, you know, impose on his time. And I still remember it was a Saturday afternoon, and we're sitting and chatting, doing the interview, and I was just about to, you know, call it a day. And he just, you know, invited me to sit and just chat. And he asked me about my family. He asked me about, you know, kind of where I came from, you know, wanted to be, you know, find out that, you know, was I a Dodger fan? And when he found out about that, it was really cool. I mean, to me, the thing that I really loved getting his insight about was something that he said several times to me, and he mentioned it in his book, The Big Chair, was, you know, only being able to control your own effort. And I love that he said that was something that he really, you know, it really resonated with him when he was after he joined the Dodgers, because, you know, obviously it was a trying time with the organization, with the change in ownership during
the Fox, right? Rupert Murdoch, the Fox days.
That was from Court to Magic.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Guggenheim. So yeah, that was definitely a trying time. So, and you know, just a real, real guy. And I loved, you know, getting his insight on, you know, kind of like trade talks and, you know, kind of how he looked at, the things that were, you know, translated from sport to sport. And I love that he's still a Bears fan, especially because his brother's on the radio crew. So, just a lot of fun. It was great, kind of reconnecting with, you know, with someone I really, admired very much. And so it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. So I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. And as you said, heck, he's now part of the Familia community.
That's growing.
So,
yeah, man.
And I'm planning to put together a little blog post with a couple, you know, kind of doing some a couple of pull quotes from some of the big things that could translate over to fantasy that people can do, especially on like kind of projecting. So that'll be a lot of fun.
For sure.
So now it's time. Hey, let's get into some cheese man.
Cheese man.
Cheese man.
Let's go.
So, you know, people in Philadelphia and fantasy owners who drafted early, Miles Sanders is dealing with lower leg issues. But, you know, immediately they came out that it's considered minor and that the team expects him to be ready for the opener. You know, his ADP is RB9 right now, so he's going late first round.
That's so early. Sorry.
You don't think so?
I don't think he's an RB9. Sorry, just that's how when I hear it, I just have to blurt out no.
Yeah,
I'd rather have Mixon than.
I don't disagree. You know, I think RB9.
Mixon, you hate Mixon. You hate Mixon. You
had him. Sanders is going to get swarmed. He's going to get swarmed.
Because the receiving core is kind of trash over there.
I still think Mixon, at the very least for me, Philadelphia has a much better line than Cincinnati. I would take Sanders over Mixon. I do not like Mixon this year. People are talking up Mixon because I had a big finish last year, but you know, I don't like him. I don't like the line. I don't like the rookie quarterback. And to me in PPR, Sanders is a, you know, he caught 50 balls being the main guy only for half the season. So that has me excited for him.
Yeah, I'm looking at Fantasy Pros ADP and they got Sanders stock falling. I mean, their latest and greatest rankings has him at RB12. Looks like he's taking a beating. So he's, you know, at 11 we have Clyde Edwards-Helaire at number RB10, Aaron
seems
Jones.
Seems falling apart. Then you check RB9.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. I think people are realizing, like, you know what? If the receiving core is not there to open it up for Carson Wentz, you know, they're just going to stack the box, and Miles Sanders is going to have a real rough go at it, you know, getting through. So, you know, even as good as you know, the Philadelphia O-line may be, you know, if they're going to run. You know, if that receiving core is not, you know, not up to snuff, I mean, he's going to have all kinds of problems. So I would definitely be a little bit careful there. And I think stock falling is just what the doctor ordered. You know what I mean? It seems reasonable that his stock is falling, because I mean, that's my opinion. I don't have any confidence at all in their receiving core. So that they'll definitely take a beating on their running game.
Yeah, I don't have any confidence
stay
in the
Supreme
Court.
Stay away from the Eagles.
Yeah.
I could actually see Miles Sanders being the number three targeted receiver on that team behind Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. And he might actually be close to Goddard. But, but to me, it's not going to matter if his leg injuries, because he had a hamstring injury. He started the season last year with a hamstring injury, and it slowed him down at the beginning. So, maybe he's got recurring issues. So, so that's the thing. That's the thing to keep an eye. It's obviously we're going to keep an eye on it and make sure everybody's. And, is the NFL ready for a bubble in the Super? You know, on the race up to the Super Bowl. In the postseason, wouldn't
that
be
protect
cool?
My fantasy.
Well, yeah, that's where the money.
For the
that's where the money is
postseason,
made.
Yeah.
I mean, regular season NFL is already big money. Postseason NFL is like super big money. So they don't want anything to happen with the value of that investment. So, yeah, they're going to do everything they can to protect everyone and make sure that they put out that quality product that the fans want that's going to generate, an S ton of revenue for the league. So, yeah, they're definitely going to – I would not doubt it. If Troy Vincent's already exploring – the idea of a bubble for the postseason, I would imagine that the odds are probably more than 50% that that's going to happen.
That'd be amazing. That'd be utterly amazing. I mean, obviously hopefully, it doesn't sound like there've been any new positive tests for players since training camp. So that's been very encouraging.
Yeah.
Obviously we've seen the success in the NBA, the WNBA and the NHL and the National Women's Soccer League. Plug for my girls, they're big fans. We're all big fans. But that bubble environment works, and we've seen how the issues that MLB has had since coming back. So I think it's going to be something that's got to be really considered, because I mean, Ricky, as you know, I mean, that's going to be January. That's cold. That's the high time for cold and flu season.
Well, yeah, they're running right into around that time. That's why it's like, just put them in a bubble, take away everybody that can possibly come around them that can be sick. And yeah, that's where the money is. So you need to definitely do that. Definitely, because it's cold season.
No, and then on top of that, it's holiday season. You know what I mean? You have a double threat. You know what I mean? Who doesn't want to be around their family during Thanksgiving and Christmas? You know, so there's really that. Okay, I'll only get away for a little bit. You know, they're not gonna know. You know, like okay, yes, there's gonna be a Thanksgiving gathering, I'll show up for half an hour, it's Christmas, I'll just be there to pass out presents and then I'll leave. Like, no, that's not, that's not okay. You know, as far as COVID-19, as you know, Rick, it doesn't take much if someone's tested positive, it doesn't take a whole lot to pass it along to someone else. So yeah, even if you show up to give out presents to your family, you're there for half an hour and somebody's there and, somebody, touches a doorknob and you touch the doorknob and you rub your eyes and now one guy's positive and now your whole team's positive. So it's very dicey. So, like I said, I would be very surprised if they did not have a bubble.
They're not going to be able to do what baseball does and just postpone a game. They're going to have to go through with it. So it's going to be tricky. I just hope they got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I hope so too. And DeAndre Hopkins didn't get it, but he got back. Missed 3 days of practice with hamstring tightness.
No,
that's always a worry. That's always a worry part with him. But he's back, so that's a good sign. And he's looking at current ADP, he's wide receiver 4. So,
I haven't seen him early second round a lot. People are passing on him.
Why?
He's gonna be a top three.
People are worried that with the changing of the teams, but I'm like, DeAndre Hopkins was always a top three receiver with bad quarterbacks. He was a top three receiver with like Brock Osweiler and like
Matt Schaub.
Those kind of guys.
Yeah.
Who do you have?
That's why I'm kind of like, no, he's going to be good. I mean, Fantasy Pros has him at number 6, actually. So I'm like, give me more Hopkins. Give me D Hop. Give me new.
Yes. No. Yeah. I mean, but good for you. I mean, if if a lot of players out there are fading him, you know, better chance for you to scoop him up if other people are going to pass on him. Like, oh no, I'm worried, or whatever the case may be. I want everything I can in the Arizona Cardinals offense. I want to get a piece of that wherever I can. So, you know, if I can get either D-Hop or, you know, any of those other guys, you know, I'm definitely going to dip my toe in that water for sure.
You know, whoever's worried about D-Hop is worried about El Cucuy. Yeah.
Right, exactly. El Chamuco.
I was able to get D-Hop and Michael Thomas in my league that drafted last week. A lot of people are skipping on D-Hop.
What?
So, yeah, that's a PPR.
Wow. Okay.
You got those real two guys to say. You got D-Hop as your wide receiver too. You're living right. I hope your running backs are okay.
Le'Veon Bell and Mark Ingram.
Ingram, solid.
You're okay.
Did you say Le'Veon Bell and Mark Ingram?
And then I got Hollywood Brown as my flex. So
wow.
That's
a pretty good
time. So let's jump into our NFC North previews.
Let's go. El Norte.
Vamos al Norte. Chicago Bears, you know, they finished 8-8 last year. 280 points scored as a team.
That good.
You know, their defense was decent. You know, they were pretty good against the pass and the run, but they just didn't score a lot of points. And a lot of it started with Mitch Trubisky. And, you know,
exactly
what we're looking at with him, I mean, just not a good season. I mean, there was promise that he had in 2018, and everything just went backward. His completion percentage went from 66.6 to 63.2. His yardage went backward about 100 yards. His rushing went back. I mean, just it went back from 421 to 193 yards. This was just looking like a broken offense. I don't know what happened with this, but I mean, obviously their offensive line took a step backward. They were a top, you know, they were one of the top offensive lines, top 15 at least the previous year, but they just went backward and they're going into the new season as the number 22 offensive line in Pro Football Focus. I don't know. You know, this is the team that's going to have a real quarterback controversy, real quarterback competition between Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles. It's hard to pick a favorite. You know, Nick Foles does have that.
At what point do you see that becoming relevant, though? Because it's not going to happen in week one.
No.
A lot of people are saying that Nick Foles is going to win the competition. I'm with you, though. I think Trubisky's going
to go. He has to lose. So if there's anyone that's looking good on this team, it's Allen Robinson.
He's the stud
quarterback. He sucks. Boom! They're going to Foles, and they're going to go to Allen Robinson
for him. Yeah,
and I think that's the only guy on the team that I would be excited to.
Allen Robinson, there's your guy. I think it's going to be Nick Foles. I think sooner than later. You know, that guy has a Super Bowl ring. as we remember, he beat Tom Brady. Yep. So he's got a ring. Mitch Trubisky, like you said, George, he's just in regression mode completely. He only had 200-300-yard games last season. I mean, just from a fantasy standpoint, it's terrible. But just from an NFL standpoint, it's terrible. I mean, if you're an NFL quarterback, you got to be putting up bigger numbers than that, you know, on a consistent basis. Only twice getting 300, that's just. Like I said, Nick Foles is going to be in there way sooner than later.
I think he's got four games before figuring out if they're going to have. And look at the schedule that they've got. And we talked about this on our schedule series. Yeah. At Detroit, New York Giants, Atlanta, Indianapolis and Tampa Bay. Not one of them was tops against the was even in the top 10 against the pass last So if Mitch Trubisky doesn't do it at this point, I think he's going to go the way of Blake Bortles. I think he's going to go like Marcus Mariota. I think fade away. Yeah, and the pressure is going to be all on him. And you know what? And this is going to be what has to happen, because he's got to respond, or it's going to be Nick Foles. Nick Foles does have history with the head coach Matt Nagy. They shared time in Philadelphia as well as Kansas City, Philadelphia in 2012, and then KC in 2016. You know, I think you've talked about this before. Foles is so good coming in as kind of like the relief pitcher, that guy who comes in to kind of save the day, like he did with Wentz, you know, the Super Bowl year and the year after that. So, you know, that's why I'm kind of like, I think he's going to come in as the guy behind. Neither of them is being drafted. I think there's speculation play that you could do with whoever's looking like the starter, maybe in as a third QB in a super flex league, but
that's what's going on.
I don't know about that. One guy that we got, David Montgomery, is what he was basura last year. I mean, you get 242 rushing attempts and you end up with only 889 yards rushing. For someone who was as hyped up as he was, I think he was a third round pick last year. That was bad. I mean, so many people were talking up him and Singletary and Josh Jacobs, and only Jacobs really hit. But I keep thinking there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Two things that have me thinking, you know, maybe posible. Number one, the Bears did not do anything to add to their running backs. They didn't sign anybody in free agency. They didn't draft anybody at the in the draft. And number two, I keep remembering Melvin Gordon in his second year, and they're kind of similar type of runners. I look at Montgomery and I'm like, I keep remembering how people were looking to give up on Melvin Gordon. And I remember grabbing him in like the fifth or sixth round, and he was fantastic. I think it was 2016. Yeah. He was wonderful. And he's been a great running back ever since. So I'm looking at taking a shot at him, maybe as my second running back, or maybe a flex play, because I just look at him as someone that could have that, you know. You guys know how much I love my year two breakouts. I'd love to be right with him. I'd love to be right with him.
Sure. Especially, I think he has a better chance, you know, under Nick Foles. You know, talking about, you know, you're saying that Matt Nagy, you know, would work with Foles back in Philadelphia. Don't forget that Nick Foles back then, with Matt Nagy, had a 6-touchdown game. So I know that Matt Nagy, you know, has not forgotten that, and I'm sure he's just, you know, he's just waiting for the chance for Trubisky to mess up and to plug Nick Foles right in there and just kind of ride with him. So,
I think they know what the issue is on the team. It's their pass. As soon as they can get consistent pass, he's going to get the lanes open. Last year, they kept going with Montgomery, like a low average. So it's like, all right, he's going to do so. They're going to keep going with them. They're going to feed him the rock. They know what the problem is. So I feel confident in him. RB25, I think if you can get him as your flex, that's a strong play. So, you get him as your flex with another strong wide receiver, I think you'll be sitting good with depth. If he's your running back too, you better start drafting more running backs.
You remember week 8 last year versus your Chargers, Rick? He went for 135 yards and a TD. So he is definitely capable of having a big game.
Chargers have a good passing defense, all right? So, and last year was
that was a fluke, man. That was a fluke, man. Speaks the
truth. I'm turning into a Cowboy fan.
Before we get into Ricky, you touched on Allen Robinson and how he did that with the quarterback play that Mitch Trubisky was doing. 98 catches, 1,147 yards and 7 TDs. That's amazing. I mean, so many people have been calling out some of the quarterbacks that Allen Robinson has been catching passes from. Blake Bortles being the other one that he caught passes from.
His top QB.
I mean, Blake Bortles or Trubisky. And I mean, it could be Foles is takes over for him, but he's just such a wonderful player. And last year was his, you know, his second full year after having ACL surgery in 2017. So I think we're seeing, you know, he's in his prime. He's like 27 years old. He's balling out. I think he was number three in targets last year with 154. I think it's the same kind of season that we're looking at from him. And the number two guy in targets last year was Tariq Cohen with 104 targets, but I think they're going to balance it out a little more. Anthony Miller got 85 targets last year, 52 catches for 656 yards. I think he's going to be a good target for them. I mean, he's going in his year three. So people, you know, it could be like a Chris Godwin type, or, you know, so many people are talking about Calvin Ridley blowing up this year and in the year three. Anthony Miller's could be in that same boat if they get enough quarterback play. Do we think they're going to get enough good quarterback play to get enough to have two good receivers? Do we think so?
Anybody? Yes, because eventually, if it's not good quarterback play, they're going to try with Foles.
Yep.
So, and Foles, everyone knows Foles can throw a dime. So,
yes,
eventually it'll get to that point. It's how late can you get these guys so that you can kind of wait those 5-6 weeks before Foles comes in, and then you have a good wide receiver in Robinson. But I think you're right. Even though he had Trubisky, 1,100 reception yards, 98 receptions, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's for Robinson. And Anthony Miller, one of the things that I forgot to mention was that he got, you know, in weeks 11 to 15, he was targeted 10 plus times, three times during those five games.
So
do you happen to know if they were winning or losing that game?
They were probably losing. So they had to throw.
That's that in-depth knowledge that Coletti told me to look for.
The Bears were.
It's all situational.
I mean, they were 8-8, Rick, last year, so chances are they were losing.
Chances are it was 50-50.
Chances are.
Closing them out. I mean, we talked a little bit about the schedule already. I mean, they've got and they close out with Houston, Minnesota, and Jacksonville.
It's a delicious schedule. It is. Yeah. I mean, if they can put something together, I mean, you know, first five games, you know, the defenses are subpar against the pass. The last three games are in the playoffs, subpar against the pass.
It makes me want to get Trubisky in my three quarter.
I know.
Quarterback. I should.
Not feeling it.
I know I definitely want – I know when I see that schedule, I kind of like David Montgomery and Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller, especially since he had a good closing kick. So.
Yeah, and Anthony Miller had a value. I mean, he's currently going in round 14. I mean, shoot, you can probably get him – you know, he's probably going undrafted. In a lot of leagues, he's probably going undrafted, so you can probably scoop him up way late. So
meanwhile, Hector gets a kicker in the eighth round.
Hey, man, I'm going to pick up Justin Tucker. I think of Justin Tucker in round 13. No one takes kickers in round 13. Everyone always waits till 14 and 15. So I just
No. 13. Some people do that. Winners don't.
Yeah, but yeah, not me. No, I have my trophy. I got my trophy, so I'm a winner. I'm a winner,
Speaking of winners, let's talk about the team that won three times last year, the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, boy, Detroit they Lions won
three
and
times.
Even though they won three times, you know, obviously we know the reason.
Only
you
know, three times.
Mr. Matt Stafford, and that doesn't tell the whole story. Three wins, because from a fantasy standpoint, Stafford was just putting up fat numbers. I mean, while he played eight games, and the guy, he went for 2,499 yards. 64.3% completion percentage. The guy was just lights out. And if you had him on your team for those first games where he played, you were just like, oh my God, salivating. Like, this is my year. I'm going to do it. Because Stafford was lighting it up. He was lighting it up, and then he got hurt. And that was kind of the end of it. And, you know, Jeff Driscoll and David Blau came in, and, you know, that didn't do any favors for our guy, Kenny Golladay, who in his own right, he still had 11 TDs, which was awesome. He had 1,190 receiving yards. So even, you know, even without Stafford at full power or not even there and having those guys in there taking over for him, Galladay did great. So I'm looking for Galladay to have another repeat season, just do amazing. Marvin Jones, who I used to call Marvatron, you know, after my man Megatron left. Marvin Jones, yes, he's 30 years old, but I'm looking for a big year. Look, I'm just saying that if my man Matt Stafford could stay healthy, just look out, because he's had a year to just rehab and to get healthy and to relax and to just get ready for this season. You know, I'm looking for just like a resurgence, you know, it's for him to come in. And he's currently going QB 13, which I don't even understand that. In the 12-team league, he's not even a starter. So that's just crazy to me. So I'm if he's available for me there, you know, in around, you know, seven or so, I'm going to scoop him up for sure. Because
that's what I'm waiting. I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get that.
You could pick nobody up and pick him like after everyone's already gone.
Right.
Exactly. No, everybody has a quarterback, and you're like, hey, you know what? Let's get Stafford.
Right. But you know what? That being said, I know there's guys in our league, namely my brother Vic, who oozes, you know, Detroit blue blood. So, you know, we know if round seven, round eight passes and no one's picked up Stafford, I know Vic's gonna pick him up. So, if I'm feeling it at that moment, you know, I might scoop him up early, only because nobody else.
I know everyone who you're gonna pick up. Heck, you're crazy.
Now, is anybody either you guys worried about him, the injuries, about the back injury last year?
I'm not.
Nah, I don't worry about the injuries, just because it's like it's a new season. Everyone's excited to play. I hate thinking about that, even though I play fantasy baseball and Aaron Judge and Stanton are both out, and I've been told, weren't you worried about their injury history? So it's like yes or no to you, Georgie. The happy side of me says no.
Stafford's a tank. He hadn't missed a game since 2010, right, George? It's been a while since he even missed a game, right?
Yeah, so before that, I mean, it was that to me is the reason why I'm not as worried, because he doesn't have that back. I think that injury was a fluke,
right?
And he had an extra 2 months to rehab. So I think
ready.
And there was even talk that he might have been, if they were in the playoff chase, that he might have a chance to come back at the end of the season. But when it was clear that they weren't in the playoff hunt, it was like, okay, keep him healthy.
Exactly. And that was a smart play, because you know what? You know, if you're a Detroit fan, there's a lot of reasons to be excited. You know, you got DeAndre Swift coming out of Georgia, as we've talked about. That's, you know, running back university. They've given us guys like what, Nick Chubb and Todd Gurley and Sony Michel, right? There's some big names coming out of Georgia. So DeAndre Swift, I don't have any reason to think that he's not coming from not gonna do anything like that. The guy can catch. He's a great receiver coming out of the backfield. Kerryon Johnson, I think we mentioned earlier, he's already walking around in a knee brace. So
I think you mentioned that on the before that we started the show. But yeah, he's in a knee brace. I didn't even know that.
that's a tough.
So that means Swift has to be number one then, or what?
Remember, Ricky, the show where you asked me if I could see if Kerryon Johnson could play a full season, if he was going to keep the RB1 position for them? And I said, I can't see a season where in any possibility where Kerryon Johnson is healthy, and he's starting the season that way. That's why I'm like, DeAndre Swift, I'm grabbing. Yo lo voy a agarrar. Dámelo.
Never seen an NFL defense, though. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire too. Are you guys really that high up on these rookies without a preseason?
Well, let me get, you know what? It was one thing we talked about this a few shows ago, and it was when we were hyping up. I think I was hyping up Clyde Edwards-Helaire a little bit. I was getting very excited about him. I went back and I looked at how many carries Kareem Hunt had when he before his explosive rookie year. He had 7 preseason carries. So I'm like,
which is the same as zero. That's the same as zero.
Yeah. So that's why I'm kind of like,
all right. It all right. DeAndre Swift just looks like gold right now. That's why
he does.
And it's like, I don't know.
And that's the thing, you know, and you know what? The thing is, we've got to cut through the BS, because the fantasy community, they love we all love the shiny new thing. The young guy who comes in and does great. And we want to kick out the Frank Gores and the Adrian Petersons of the world,
right?
Even though they've got some. So, maybe we should. But DeAndre Swift, I think for me, I think he's the real deal. I think he's the real deal. I think he's gonna, you know, if they improve their offensive line enough, they were number 16 in Pro Football Focus. I like their option. I like him as an option.
Georgia knows how to recruit running backs, and they obviously, like I said, I listed them: Chubb and Gurley and Michelle. You got, you know, DeAndre Swift here. I mean, when's the last time that you had a running back coming out of Georgia that was, you know, weak sauce? You haven't seen that. So they know what they're doing. They know how to pick them, you know. And this guy is no exception. I think he's gonna come in. He's gonna light it up. The Detroit offense, I think, is gonna be electric. And be ready.
Are you? So any confidence in Kerryon Johnson being more than
with the knee brace? Man, he's currently going with RB33 to DeAndre Swift's RB27. So I mean, DeAndre is already being picked ahead of Kerryon, man. So I think the writing's on the wall at this point. It's like, you know, everyone's fading Kerryon already.
I think so. I think people, you know, it's kind of sad. You know, it's only his third year, but
I think they'll still give him a chance if he's healthy. But, you know, like, he deserves that. But I think they already see it coming.
Right.
I think that's why they picked DeAndre Swift when they did in the second round.
Second RB overall. So there's a reason. You know, this is not, they're not trying to hide it. You know, they're saying like, look, man, we're going after this guy. He's out of Georgia. Second RB total. Like they're not playing. You know, they're not messing around. They're not trying to sugarcoat it. They're saying we're gonna go. We're all in with this guy. And sorry, Kerryon. Like, we really like this guy. So it is what it is.
Yeah, and heck, you know, I know you already talked about Kenny Golladay. There was one stat I wanted to put in out there, a couple of stats I wanted to put out there. I mean, he had 18.3 yards per reception. That was number 3 in the league. And then you got I went and looked at his numbers for the first 8 games when Stafford was there. You know, 35 receptions, 640 yards, 7 TDs. You double that, and you got that's pushing like a Tyreek Hill type of season. So
yeah.
And no, Marvin no, Jones. No joke. And no Marvin joke. Jones. Marvin Jones was, you know, you double his numbers from when Stafford, and he was over 1,000 yards and six TDs. You know, he'd be over 1,000 yards and 12 TDs. Granted, 4 of those TDs came in one game, but you know, we had 4 TDs in week 7 last year. But
like I said, that's Marvatron. That's my guy right there, man. He will put up big numbers for you here and there. And like I said, if Stafford's healthy, Marvin Jones at wide receiver 37 is a super good value pick. Scoop him up wherever you can, because that guy will put up numbers for you for sure.
And, you know, heck, we talked about it on the last episode, TJ Hawkinson.
TJ.
Having still not 100% from his.
Right, that was tough. Yeah, that was tough. Understanding that. You know, after all the rehab that he's gone through, after, you know, being off since last season, he's still not quite 100%. I feel bad about that. I'm just hopeful that from now to the beginning of the season, they can kind of turn that around and get him to 100%, or at least close to it. Because like I said, you know, Matt Stafford's ready. I mean, I'm sure he's just like dying to get out and play. You know, that, you know, like when you're a kid and like you have a fever and your mom didn't let you go outside, and you're like standing in the window and you're watching other kids play, and you're just like, dang, man. And you're just like, you just can't wait to get out there and play. Like, Stafford's been that kid looking out the window, just dying to get out there. So when he gets out there, he's going to be slinging that ball around. And yeah, one of the beneficiaries of that will be TJ Hawkinson for sure. So we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully he can stay healthy and get that ankle injury, you know, back up to snuff. And like I said, big things are going to happen, I think, all over the place for that whole Detroit offense.
Yeah, I'm fading him. That worries me. Starting training camps, already talking about that you're not 100%. I mean, yeah. Ricky, you like to draft hurt guys.
I like him.
And get a discount.
I like him. He's like, if you have a tight end, like, get him late. He's gonna be a free pick at the end, and when he's healthy. And you have a healthy Matt Stafford. Why not? He's going to throw bombs to him. He's going to eat him up.
Down low, across the middle.
I love hurt guys. You're exactly right. Everyone's going to shy away from him because he's a little hurt right now. I have him on my team with Kittle, and I'm like, you know what? Now I'm thinking of getting rid of Kittle, getting some nice piece with Kittle, and just going with Hawkinson.
Yeah, their schedule is juicy too, man. I mean, they're going against, at Green Bay, shootout, you know, number 14 pass defense, at Arizona, number 31 pass defense at New Orleans. Shoot, that's always a shootout. Then finishing up the season, the last game of the year, they're playing against Tampa Bay. You know, if you're in the Super Bowl, you know, you're and you got Stafford there, you got some lines on your squad. Week 16, they're going against Tampa Bay, one of the worst defenses ever. So you're gonna get some points against that defense. So get a piece of Detroit wherever you can.
Yeah, they were great against the run, just horrible against the pass.
I mean, exactly.
I can't imagine they would improve that much.
No way.
Unbelievable. Rick, take us to Green Bay.
Yeah, Green Bay. I mean, they're an exciting team to talk about because they got all the folklore, all the good stuff going for them. But they're super average, man. They went 13-3 last year. How? I don't know. I think the other teams in their divisions were hurt, injured, didn't show up to the games. But looking at it, I mean, I hate anyone on their team as far as on my putting on my fantasy football team.
Davante Adams?
Because
Davante Adams?
It's hit or miss with them always. Davante Adams is like mainly their only somewhat consistent piece. But I felt like sometimes Aaron Jones would go off for like 200 yards, two touchdowns, and then the next week do like nothing.
Right.
Get you like 7 to 10 points.
Over the course of the whole year, I mean, year over year, I mean, or rather, you know, through the course of the year, the guy put up monster numbers. This 16 TDs.
Throughout the year, yes, it's awesome, but I just don't like that it's, you're a 99 this week, and then next week you're like, your RB friggin' 30 because he sucked. I don't like that.
Yeah.
They have Matt LaFleur. This is his second year. Georgia, I always hear you talk great things about the players in their second year. Is it the same with the coaches?
Because
this dude went 13-3. I don't think he's going to be the same thing. Exactly. And I think I don't think they'll have that. Last year, they were not in the top half of for their defense or their offense. They were in the bottom half. Like maybe I think like 18th or 19th. So that already tells me, all right, I don't want anything to do with this team. But the best thing about them is their O-line's ranked number 4. And if that tells me anything, yeah, you do want to get Jones. He's going to be steady. I would put him – Rodgers – here's the thing about Rodgers.
And you give him time in the pocket? Are you serious?
Rodgers in 2016 had over 40 touchdowns. Great year.
Yeah.
Since then, he hasn't even been able to get 30 yet.
Weak O-lines. So, the O-lines have been weak. Now he's got a number 4 O-line.
He's not going to run anymore. He's 36 years old.
No, he doesn't need to run. With a good O-line, he's just sitting back there just like looking for his targets and just throwing darts. If you gave Aaron Rodgers time, what's he going to do, man? He's going to find the open guy and hit him. Davante Adams all
know.
Day, man.
With an average, I believe last year his yards per attempt was 7.
Like I said,
that's the same as Gardner Minshew O-line. And Rodgers. I'm not picking Rodgers on my fantasy football team. I'd way rather have Stafford, and Stafford's being picked 13th. So yeah,
that's a good point. That's a good point. If you want to stack your roster, you have an opportunity to stack your roster.
I just
other positions, skill positions, and then
I just
you know
don't
save your
see Rodgers. Yeah. I mean, he finished QB9 last year. I don't have high hopes for him mainly. And here's the big thing: who's the best player on the team fantasy wise? Davante Adams. Yep. Who does Davante Adams have behind him? The Lizard King, MBS, their tight end, Sternberger or Starn, whatever it is. Who is he? He's a second year. He's not one of the second year guys we're going to talk about much.
Nope.
So Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be a run team. It's going to be a running game the whole time. That's why they got A.J. Dillon. And I know LaFleur loves him. He talks about how he's never seen anyone like him. So I think if you're going to do anything with this team, you want to mess with their running game, but only in Dillon. I think Jones is eventually going to be watched out because Dillon's a big guy. Dillon looks like they want to bring him in for third down and goal line. So I don't know. You can get Dillon a lot cheaper than Jones. Jones is probably going – where's Jones being ranked right now?
Jones is RB10. Going in the second round.
RB10,
Him and Sanders both need to get a re-look at because, I don't know, Dylan's going in the 17th round. He's huge. He's a big guy. So I think he's almost like Derrick Henry size, and Derrick Henry's a beast. So I think eventually Dylan's going to take it over there, just needs a few games. And I think that team's just going to be running all the time. I don't see Aaron Rodgers is a manager, and he's a great manager. There's not much they need from him. Davante Adams only played 12 games last year, so I think he's going to get 1,000 yards no matter what. I'd hate to put him like as the second best wide receiver. Maybe I can see him getting fourth best.
He is wide receiver two. He's going to wide receiver two right now. Do you really think he is wide receiver two though?
At the end.
Only because of what Aaron Rodgers does. You know, like I said, especially with the much improved O-line that the Packers have. I mean, because he's Michael Thomas. You know, Michael Thomas to Drew Brees is Davante Adams to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's why Aaron Rodgers just throws to Davante Adams the entire game. And like you said, the receiving core after him is Alan Lazard at wide receiver 61. MVS is currently going undrafted. So it's like the Saints. You know, every defense knows that Michael Thomas is going to get balls, and he still makes a ton of catches every game for a ton of yards every game and a ton of fantasy points every game. And that's what Davante Adams does. And with an improved O-line, that's scary because Aaron Rodgers will find him all game long. He's going to get open. He's going to get those catches. And like I said before, every time that the Packers are at the 5 to 10 to 15-yard line, he throws that fade to Davante Adams every time, and it's undefendable. It's like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's skyhook. You know it's coming, and you just can't defend it. You know, Davante Adams goes up. He does a little post corner, back shoulder. Aaron Rodgers throws a super, like, Buck Rogers laser beam in there, and only Davante Adams can catch it, and you can't defend it. And it happens all the time, every game, and he gets at least one or two touchdowns from that. So I don't know. MVS and Lazard have to step up in order for that to happen again.
He's not going to be able to do it if they just jump on him. Like, MVS and Lazard, they have to do something. Otherwise, I feel like the deck is against Adams.
But who does anything else? But who does anything at New Orleans? Nobody else. New Orleans, who else do they have?
That's a totally different player.
No, it's not.
I mean, Michael Thomas, 149 receptions last year.
But like I said, you're giving Green Bay the improved O-line. Watch what happens. That's all I'm saying.
I hope you pick. What number are you in the draft, Tech?
I'm 7. I think Michael Thomas will still be available.
Michael Thomas goes 5. Who do you get?
Then Derrick Henry. Six. Derrick Henry's available at 7. Or Dalvin Cook.
Ooh. You don't want Adams either. I'm happy because he never falls to me.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying at number 7, I have Derrick Henry. I have Dalvin Cook. I have Michael Thomas. I have Alvin Kamara. I have all those guys. Davante Adams is currently going 8th overall. So if I'm 7, I'm going with these top 7 guys. Henry and Cook and Kamara and Thomas and Barkley and Elliott and McCaffrey. Those are the top 7 guys. I'm getting one of those guys. If I was number 8, yeah, I would consider Davante Adams at number 8. But at number 7, these are the 7 guys that I'm looking at. So that's just how it works out.
That's gonna be fun. We're gonna remind you about this. I mean, the one thing I love this. I'm glad the band is back together, so we get this family argument.
I was having a good trip until right now.
The one thing that I'm wondering about Aaron Rodgers is ganas. Is he gonna want to get that, because he's famous for having that chip on his shoulder. You know, he's always kind of felt like he had a chip on his shoulder dating back to, you know, getting passed over by 24 teams or however many it was when he got picked in 2005. Is he going to want to stick it to them and be like, oh, you guys draft my replacement Jordan Love? Jordan okay, Love. Let me show you.
And No, 100%. Discount double check coming.
Yeah, exactly.
He's gonna show you that belt just like he did back in the days. He's gonna score touchdowns, and he's gonna show you that I still hold the belt, man. You know, forget about this kid Jordan Love. I don't even know why you guys picked him. Like, I'm the man. You know, until further notice. Like, he's gonna let it be known. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there's not very many. I mean, as competitive as the NFL is, I'd be hard pressed to think of a guy, like when you say like who's like the fiercest competitors in the NFL, like I think of Aaron Rodgers. Like even in his press conferences, the guy's like super like intense, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like there's just those guys that are like how Kobe was. Like in a press conference, like Kobe like wouldn't smile. He just like pissed off. Like even after Lakers won, like he'd be like pissed off. Like, yeah, man, like we got another game coming up, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Aaron Rodgers is like intense competitor. So, yeah, the fact that they drafted Jordan Love, look for Aaron Rodgers to throw up like a record year, man. Watch. It's coming.
No, it's going to be interesting. When I was putting together stats for this, I was really thinking about fading him, but then there's that Ganas factor. You know? Mm-hmm. So we'll call it the Ganas factor.
We're going to see
it right away because he's got a pretty soft schedule opening up the season. You know, and it's
Minnesota's not soft.
Minnesota's
a great. Oh yeah, that's gonna be hard
shootout.
But you know, I don't even think it's shootout. Road games don't mean much.
Road games don't mean anything anymore. So it doesn't matter. Larry Rodgers
all
gonna throw up.
Four of those games are against possible playoff teams, and then they Detroit? Go on a bye. Oh well, yeah, Detroit. If Detroit Stafford can get back to form, and if Matt Ryan can get back in form. Those teams are going to be shootouts. Those two games.
I believe that the quarterbacks are going to be in form. I don't believe that their defenses are going to be in form.
Right.
I've seen Matt Stafford making playoffs.
But here's the thing: we're talking about fantasy.
Beer bet.
I don't care if the Packers win. If I'm picking up Aaron Rodgers or Devontae Adams, I don't give a crap if they win. This is fantasy. I don't care if they win. Nobody cares if their guy wins. All I care is that you threw up four TDs and you threw for 500 yards. I give a crap if you win. You know what I mean? Like, who cares if you win? That doesn't even matter. Throw up. Give me 45 points on my fantasy. That's what I care about.
Oh. All right. Let's close out the NFC North.
Talking about the Vikings, right?
Yeah, talk about the Vikings. You know, talking about teams that aren't going to be throwing it up. You know, the one thing about the Vikings, they were one of three teams last year, along with San Francisco and Baltimore, to run more than they passed. They had 476 rushing attempts, 466 pass attempts.
Wow.
It's
game management.
You know, that was Kevin Stefanski's offense. So yep. They got a new offensive coordinator in Gary Kubiak, who also was kind of split down the middle on his emphasis on run and pass. During his days both in Denver and in Houston. So maybe it's more of the same. A lot is going to start with Kirk Cousins. I mean, he had 444 pass attempts last year. The previous year, he had 606, which is amazing drop off. I mean, he was still an incredibly accurate passer. He was 69.1% last year, but his yardage was only 3,603. I mean, I look at him and, I'm kind of like, I want to play matchups with him. He might be a guy that I have in a platoon because he had, he started off just basura. I mean, they were not throwing the ball. And I think the first game he didn't even throw for 100 yards, and so it was 8 for 10 for 98 yards. This is today's NFL. That's like what? 1958. Baltimore like, Colts.
Yeah, you're looking at your Yahoo app and you're like, this is a typo. Like you're like refreshing it. Like that can't be right. You know what I mean? When the game like 98 yards. Like how's a quarterback throw for 98 yards? Like what?
Then weeks 5 through 7, you know, he threw for 300 yards, 300 plus yards in each game. But he only had one other 300 yard game the whole rest of the season. You know, the one thing about him, he has very good matchups opening up the season for him. You know, Green Bay, Indianapolis, Tennessee, Houston, Seattle, you know, none of them is a lockdown defense against the pass.
They're very porous. They're very porous.
Green Bay was a decent pass defense, but really the others were not. So Seattle is going to be better with Jamal Adams. But to me, you know, I do like Kirk Cousins as the second quarterback in a super flex league, or maybe a platoon, maybe with like a Big Ben or a Daniel Jones, just kind of playing the matchups a little bit. So But that's the only thing. One guy that I'm matching up against anybody, most anybody, is Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, buddy.
Coming into the season.
RB5. You can't mess with that.
You're worried? What are you worried about, Rick? What are you worried about with Dalvin Cook?
First of all, the whole contract issue is kind of annoying.
But the
main thing, guys, if there's anything you know about me, I make the playoffs like every year. So I have to look at that.
Really?
I know, right? I didn't know you wouldn't.
I didn't know that.
You're never in the playoffs, so that's why I would.
I'm always in the playoffs. What are you talking about? I'm generally in the. I think I've been in the playoffs like 75% of the time.
I think that's a booty.
I think that's a real number. For real.
In your head.
No, the year that you won when Nico threw up the double donuts,
Hector,
I can look up the stats.
So don't try that. I've been in the finals 50% of the time. But if you look at their playoff, look at that. Tampa Bay, number one run last year. Chicago, number nine run last year. New Orleans, number four run. I don't want Dalvin Cook on my team. I don't care how great his season's been. 14, 15, 16 is when I need him to be well. I don't want Dalvin Cook. I'll be more than happy to let anyone else get him. I will pass on him easily. Let Heck get him.
No. You know what? But now that you mention it, now that I'm looking at these numbers, these tough run defenses at the end, and I'm not looking at Dalvin Cook, and maybe if he falls to number seven, then I just may take Davante Adams there.
Ooh. I want to see that happen.
Some foreshadowing, because I just called it out. If you give Aaron Rodgers a number four, you know, offensive line, Davante Adams is just going to eat all day. So God. That's going to be fun.
You know, it's funny when that situation happens and I see Dalvin Cook is up there. I'm going to look right at Heck, and I'm going to be like, you said you would.
I know, you told me. You said it, man.
I'll look right back at you,
and I'll say, you know what, Rick? I'm not really feeling, you know, those run defenses in championship week when I'm about to win, so I think I'll fade him.
I'll be like, no, I want A.J. Brown.
I want A.J. Brown. Round one. With the seventh overall pick.
A.J. Brown.
Seventh overall pick, I picked Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh yeah, Hector's man crush.
The one thing
about him, you know, today, yeah, it came out today that he broke off contract talks and said he's just preparing for week one. So this is his walk year. So year four, he could be a free agent after this season. I'm just thinking he's going to want to put as big a number out there as he's possible, you know, just put up big stats and get his next contract, whether it's in Minnesota or out there. So I think he's going to put a lot on the line for this year. So, and try and get a good contract. I had him on one of my teams last year. You know, he had seven games over 100. In the first seven games, he had five times he went over 100 yards. I mean, it was every week. He was right there with Christian McCaffrey.
Numbers in chunks, man. So, yeah, numbers just coming in chunks. Love it.
And you know, numbers in, a guy who's going to put the numbers in chunks is Adam Thielen. I mean, that boy going to eat. He does it every year. Well,
he didn't do it last year. Last year was a little off for him.
He had an injury. Well, an injury.
No, he started. When he first started his first few weeks, he didn't do crap.
Really?
And then finally he started doing well, right. And then he got injured.
Cousins was finally putting up those big games, those passes that were going to Thielen, and he was putting up those big numbers.
And now it's only him and no Diggs, just a fast Justin Jefferson, he's going to eat the ball. I'd rather have him than Davante Adams, but I wouldn't be sad if Thielen fell to me. I'd be excited to have him because he can almost play as good as a top five receiver.
If you grabbed a running back and then came back and got a Thielen type, I think he's going to be. I think he's definitely someone who's a possibility to have, you know, be top five in targets this year. I mean, he had 153 targets 2 years ago, and I think he's the clear number one. I think Justin Jefferson, if he has any kind of rookie issues, obviously he was on the COVID list, so he's not even. I think he's barely back with the team, so he missed some time.
I think he's
going to have some rookie growing pains, but I think it's just going to be early on. It's going to be Thielen, and just he's going va comer mucho, 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 mucho. That's like it'd be like me at the taquero, you know, where he's, you know, just give me otro tres, one of each.
it's like when you come home from like football practice, whatever, and your mom's like, "Are you hungry, mijo?" Like, you know, you're going to eat, right? Like, like everything's coming out of the fridge, man, and just like you're going to eat till you can't eat anymore, man. That's it. He's going to eat, that's for sure.
Give it to me. So one guy to kind of keep an eye on for those who have tight end leagues, Irv Smith is someone to, you know, in the deeper leagues, there's a lot of buzz around him, kind of taking over the lead tight end role with Kyle Rudolph being more of a blocking tight end, and whereas Irv Smith, great athleticism. He's an Alabama tight end, so he's all you got to say, man. So I look at him, and I mean, they're going to have, you know, fantastic prospects all over the place. So you know, possible he's a guy that maybe if you don't get a Kelce or Kittle in the first couple rounds, you know, Irv Smith may be a guy that you platoon at the end, or you know, maybe you stream your tight ends against good
never good heard matchups. Of him. He'll be there at the end of the
game. Yeah, he'll be at 25. TE25, he'll be there. He's mostly probably going to go undrafted in most leagues, so probably. He'll be available. Yeah,
definitely in our league. Definitely.
Is he a sleeper in a tight end league? Do you think he's a sleeper?
Possibly as like a streaming guy. Yeah. I think so. I think he's a possibility. I mean, there's guys that are ahead of him. I like Ian Thomas more than him. You know, Blake Jarwin's getting a lot of love right now. Noah Fant's getting a lot of love.
Yeah, I'm gonna pay a Irv Smith then. I'm gonna leave him there.
He's
in my free agency right now, but Georgie doesn't sound that convinced.
So. Rick's not testing quite, the water. Yeah. Rick's is testing you, man. He's just measuring your excitement level. Like, oh yeah, you don't sound too excited, man. I'm not gonna take him.
I'm gonna use some Fab dollars on it. So. Oh man,
in a league that does that. I'm excited.
Oh, well, Familia, we're adopting Fab this year, too, so it's going to be fantastic.
Are we?
I
didn't know that.
It's going to be fabtastic, yeah.
Yes, we're going to, we're going to talk about Fab dollars after we get into the, before draft time, just to kind of, right around the start of the season to kind of how to use our Fab dollars. But, as great as it was to have the Familia Rock the band back together. Eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and for making sure our independent podcast gets into the Familia community. Please subscribe and leave us a review, Spotify, Apple, Google, as well as all the other podcast platforms. And remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB, as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page. Gracias otra vez. And remember, todos somos familia. Y póngate la máscara.
La máscara. Salud.
Adiós.